Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 67. Tom, top of the morning slash evening or whenever you are listening to this. Oh, I feel so much better about the world. Like, we've got all of the movie and television show awards done and dusted, at least for some time.
Yep, we've got a break now.
Phew. It also gives us a chance to go and watch the movies that we didn't get around to watching.
Mm-hmm.
Top on my list, I think, is probably Bohemian Rhapsody.
Sure.
It's going to be a happy movie, as in, you know, feel good. I mean, Queen music makes you feel good, right?
I'm excited to watch Free Solo, which was the best documentary about the...
That looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked beautiful.
I watched the trailer of it a week or two ago, and it looks amazing.
Mm.
But it's more about, if you don't know, it's about the guy who's a free climber, I think it's called, and scales massive rock walls. And it's more about what are the implications for his family and friends over this guy's obsessiveness. Wow.
Yeah, wow. Thanks, Christopher Walken, coming in and making that.
Wow.
I like watching the little excerpts or the previews that they have for the nominees and then basing what I think should win off that. I never get it right because you can't. But that one did look good and I'm glad that they won.
Hey, should we talk about some Oscars stuff in a bit?
Yeah.
We probably should. There were a few things worth noting.
Well, one thing I did notice that was not necessarily at the Oscars itself, or she might have been there, but I saw a photograph of her from the Vanity Fair party. I'm talking about Zoe Kravitz.
Sure.
She was wearing, you know how you get to a point in fame and also confidence as well, where you just go, I'm not going to wear a top. So she didn't. She just wore a bra. But it was that one from Tiffany's. How many carats was it? It was 18 carats, I think. It cost $24,000, which doesn't sound like that much, to be honest with you.
That's not that much.
No.
Did you see what was around Gaga's neck?
That was some serious bling.
That was
bling.
The Tiffany diamond, the yellow one. It's only been worn 3 times in history.
You got to give it to Gaga that night.
Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, her dress is so boring. Yeah, because you're meant to be looking at her neck.
It's not about the dress.
Not about the dress. No meat this year.
No. That's right. What other Oscar-y stuff, Buzz, did you hear?
I had a happy little dance that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won Best Animated.
I mean, everybody that gets up there's always very excited and happy and grateful, but they were super happy and grateful.
They were so stoked.
I found myself smiling as I was watching.
Yeah, and they got cut off a bit early because they were about to start thanking Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. And yeah.
Do you think that they don't know when the microphone gets cut off? Because I saw a few people kept talking during the bit where the music's happened, the music swelled, the camera has cut back to like almost a full shot of the hall,
auditorium.
Yeah, auditorium. And the mic cuts off, but you can still see them talking.
So I think it's a case of people that are performers know when they're getting the wrap it up light. Because there's clearly some sort of indication, because Olivia Colman was they're telling me to wind it up.
Yeah.
And that's a thing from comedy clubs, of they'll flash a light at you from back house, so you know when you're supposed to be wrapping up. I think non-performers don't get that.
Isn't it interesting, though, in such a huge awards night like the Academies, that they don't say, if you are a nominee, here are the things you must know?
I think as well you get a lot of international people that might not get the same customs.
Yeah, sure.
There's a bit of that in the mix, and then there's some people that are just generally mind blown to be in that situation.
They're just over the moon, nothing happens. In fact, you hear some people when they walk straight from the stage to the press out the back and they say, I actually don't know what I said, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I don't think Olivia Colman would remember anything she said.
Well, my favourite bit wasn't necessarily her, where she said, oh, that's my husband, oh look, he's going to cry, and he was getting emotional, then he stopped and he shook his head.
And then she was like, I'm not going to cry.
It made me laugh.
Yeah. I loved when they started wrapping her up and she blew a raspberry at them.
Yeah. I'm so glad she won.
Me
so
too.
Glad. That was a great performance as well.
Yeah.
And I was going to say The Green Book in The Favourite. She was my favourite. They genuinely seemed like they had a good time filming that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And they appear close afterwards. Mm.
So now that she's won the Oscar, she immediately next year can start voting for the Oscars.
Yes.
I tell you. Well, that's one way you get in.
It'll be very interesting to see what she does next. Will she work with David Mitchell again? Will there be more Peep Show? Will she go back to small English productions? Will she try and stay in Hollywood and do things there? I don't see her.
I don't see her being a real Hollywood.
No.
Maybe more like your dames.
Yeah, I could see her doing a Judi Dench, which is, I'll do the flight to Hollywood for a couple of weeks once a year, and the rest of the time I do my own thing.
Hanging out in London.
Mm.
Yeah.
They're the real killers who turn the lights off on Tony Soprano. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw Spike Jones. Wow.
He's busy making Fatboy Slim's new music video.
Really?
No, but he's made several of them in the past, so I wouldn't rule it out.
I'm also waiting for a Moby comeback.
He's still around, and he's become quite self-deprecating. I've seen him pop up on a lot of the chat and panel shows.
Okay.
He's pretty funny. He played Talk Show the Game Show last year.
Oh, okay, cool. It was good. He seems like one of those guys that I haven't seen him for years, but I don't imagine he looks like he's aged much.
No. He's super into veganism, so he's just kind of frozen in time from that look from the late 90s.
Still wearing Adidas sneakers.
Yes.
The white ones.
Anyway, enough Spike Jones / Moby.
Let's get to the Spike Lee.
What do you want to talk about with Spike Lee?
Oh, I just enjoyed the fact that he riled Trump up enough to tweet about him. Thought that was quite good.
It was great. Well, he got his first Oscar win. He didn't win for best, and I don't know if you saw or read, but he had a Kanye moment where he stormed around a bit.
And then they wouldn't let him out.
They wouldn't let him out, and then he said that something along the lines of that this is fucked. I lose any time there's a movie with someone driving someone. Because he famously lost for driving Miss Daisy.
That's right. And when he got up, I think it was, it was afterwards in the press, in front of the press, he had a glass of champagne. He's like, I'm just going to have one more sip of this. This is about my sixth. Good on you. You've won. Let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
No incredible controversies in terms of names getting mixed up this year.
No, it was all pretty safe.
Careful. I didn't even notice the lack of a host.
Sure.
And I think that's why the Oscars just ditched having a host, because they knew that it would still flow. You have enough big names that get up to present it for it to be entertaining enough for the audience.
That's very true. Look, I will say that having Tina Fey, Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph together at the beginning made me go, why aren't they just hosting?
Why aren't they?
But also the combination of Awkwafina and John Mulaney was really, really strong. They were like best animated short or something else ridiculous, and they just made fun of the fact of like, why are we here? They gave us one of the big ones. Let's go, guys.
Jason Momoa, Helen Mirren there saying we didn't colour coordinate ourselves, but don't we look great? When an English lady and a Hawaiian man can dress in the same colour and still pull it off.
Uh-huh.
That was great.
Yeah, there were some really good moments.
There's some nice highlights, yeah.
And it wasn't Anne Hathaway and James Franco, so that was good. That was a bad year.
Did David Letterman host it one year?
And he did. It was awful.
Which surprises me.
He's not a live performer like that.
Yeah, okay.
It takes a very specific skill, I think, to work a room like that.
Mm.
Mm. Billy Crystal, he's still a high mark for me.
Oh, man's a legend in terms of that. I haven't seen him in anything for ages.
So he had a show a few years ago with Josh Gad, Olaf from Frozen.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about comedians, and it was like a mockumentary type thing. It was very clever. But yeah, he doesn't do a whole lot. He tours his live shows.
They'd be good to see. He should come down here and do one.
He's done that. I saw him three years ago, I think, and then I saw him before that. He did a show called 700 Sundays, which is about how many Sundays he got to spend with his father before his father passed away. It was really cool.
Yeah. That sounds super sweet.
I was very impressed with Mahershala Ali getting Best Supporting Actor for Green Book, because he's the second black actor to win multiple Oscars.
So who's the...
Who do you think? Denzel.
Denzel!
Of course it's bloody Denzel.
I also thought it was quite brave of him to wear an interesting hat around Pharrell Williams, who was there.
He did feel like he was dropping a gauntlet. Pharrell, get the... Why are you in shorts? I think that was the most controversial moment of the night. Like, I don't mind shorts, but there's a rule. A gentleman does not wear shorts. Shorts are for the beach, the pool, or at home, not around other people.
Not at the Oscars.
Not at the Oscars.
That's black tie stuff.
Or have a better hat.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers Pharrell's great, that huge...
Bring that hat out again.
Rocky Bullwinkle style hat.
It really was Rocky Bullwinkle.
I miss that hat. That was a good hat. And then, look, the last bit of Oscars news. Kevin Hart, obviously not invited, even though he had been booked as host. He posted some photos at the gym.
Is that what he was doing during the Oscars?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yep, working it out.
Good.
Didn't get much likes.
Oh.
Yeah.
People are too busy hashtag searching Oscars 2019.
Mm-hmm.
He has to hashtag better.
Yeah.
They're the ones who knock. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, not speaking about the Oscars, we're still talking about movies. Some angry blokes on the internet machine have been banding together to mount a bit of a movement to ruin Captain Marvel.
I saw.
Yeah, kind of crappy. Brie Larson's recent request for more inclusive a panel of film critics to review the movie has made some guys get on their computers and just type bad reviews out like their lives depended on it. It always seems like it's a very important idea when you're on a forum and when you're on a message board and you're like, oh, yes, it's so true. We do have to get them, pitchfork and run around. But they've been flooding Rotten Tomato with negative comments, calling her a man-hating racist and, you know, trying to stuff her feminist agenda into their ears. She said, now this is the quote that they're basing this off. I don't need a 40-year-old white dude to tell me that they didn't like my work. She said, it wasn't made for them. I want to know what the film meant to women of colour, to, you know, biracial women, to teen women of colour, to teens that are biracial. And for the third time, I don't hate white dudes. It's just a fact.
It's so true. Shay, 6-year-old girl, really excited for Captain Marvel. That means the world to me. It was the same way when Ant-Man and the Wasp came out. It was one of the few times she'd gotten excited to see a Marvel movie because there was a female lead. Captain Marvel's going to be awesome. The reviews that came out said that it is surprisingly twisty and some great shocks in there.
Awesome.
But I can't wait. It's going to be great.
It doesn't have to be just for you. You know what I mean? Like, things can be for other people
as
well.
Right.
You can still enjoy it.
Yep. You know, I'm not someone who enjoys Yummy Mummies on the 7 Network.
But you're not going to get on Rotten Tomatoes and just bash it because
I'm not even
going to
mumble anything bad about it out loud at home because Lynn enjoys it.
It's not for you.
Stupid.
Rotten Tomatoes apparently are keeping a close eye on the hate speech in their comments, not just on Captain Marvel, but in general. Because these kind of things can skew, you know, metadata and
whatnot. Very much so. It can have a negative effect. I mean, I've never trusted Rotten Tomatoes for a thought of on a film, ever. I don't follow aggregators.
But people do.
I like to use particular critics whose opinions I trust and see what they say about it, rather than, well, look, here's what 300 people had to say about it.
Oh. Here's one from this person that I've enjoyed movies that they've suggested.
That's right. They've probably got a pretty similar sense of taste to myself.
Absolutely. Mm. What other stories did you find today?
So, a couple of things. I'll go through them quick. One, Night Flyers, that show George R. R. Martin. Remember I watched a few episodes and was really bored?
Yeah.
Cancelled.
Not a surprise.
Not coming back.
In fact, the last time we spoke about it was the last time I'd heard anything about it.
Yep. So,
there you go. There's one thing post Game of Thrones that has not worked.
I have a feeling that some of these other Game of Thrones spin-offs that they want to do will not be as high quality.
Mm-mm.
So let's see what happens with that. Psych, you know I love that show, and they did a movie for Christmas, a year and a few months ago now. They've confirmed that they're doing Psych 2 Christmas movie this year.
Awesome.
Probably for Christmas. It may come out earlier, but the intention is to do a Christmas movie every couple of years.
That's great.
And that is really cool because the two leads, one of them is on Million Little Things, another one is on Suits. So these guys are really busy, so they're finding the time to go and film this, you know, TV movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That'll be great fun. Come on, son.
It's still alive.
Yeah.
Alive and kicking.
I love that show. It's one of those, in the same way that the first few seasons of Arrested Development rewarded you the more you watched because there are more and more in-jokes.
Mm.
That's what this show is.
Yeah, so I get you.
Almost everything that's said is a callback to something else and this sort of stuff. So
fantastic.
Very happy to hear about that. Just announced before we started recording, Warner Media, which is their streaming service, have just started production on an animated Gremlins series.
I saw the headline for this, didn't get a chance to read it. It's, so it's going to be animated?
Yes. It is a
Anything
prequel.
Else? Okay.
And it's going to be following a young Mr. Wing and going on adventures with Gizmo. So well before he handed it off and started the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's...
Cool.
If it was worried about continuity to the other films, it would be set probably in the 50s, but I don't think it will be. So who cares?
But yeah.
Animated Gremlins. Yes.
Has
awesome.
There been an animated version before or not? I'm not really sure. I can't remember.
I don't
remember.
Think so.
I just find that this will have a couple of different audiences. You'll get the kids.
Yep.
You'll get the adults who watched and loved the Gremlins
yep.
as kids. And then you'll get the adults who loved and watched the Gremlins watching it with their kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Speaking of super cool, this is not. This is like a warning.
Okay.
Okay, this is how publicity works. Khloe Kardashian was in contention to be the next Bachelorette. That was the rumor.
Right.
It got shut down when Kim Kardashian tweeted, Bachelor creator Mike Fleiss says Khloe is in talks with the Bachelor. Fake news big time. Now, immediately you should be wary of this because if it's not true, just don't talk about it.
Sure.
They just, you don't mention it. You don't give it publicity, right?
Yep.
So now I'm starting to think, is it a product they're trying to pitch? Is it the show? Is there a different sort of Bachelor that they're trying to grab a hold of? Because then the creator, Mike Fleiss, tweets, how would Kim Kardashian know this is between me, Kris Jenner, and most importantly, Khloe Kardashian? Then Kim tweets a screenshot of a group chat with her mum and sister saying, you guys in talks with the Bachelorette? Chris says, no, lol. Khloe says, ooh, I mean, put some respect on my name. Misspelling respect. Now, they're clearly up to something. These guys are a powerhouse in the world of social media. And this is just how they create interest and buzz
sure.
around it. I'm not necessarily talking about will they make the Bachelorette or not. Like that's not the main story here. The main story is if you see people doing this kind of thing, famous people on social media, don't think, this is hilarious, they're airing their dirty laundry. No, immediately think to yourself, what are they trying to pitch?
Yeah, I worked as a social media strategist
for
5 years.
You can see it straight away, can't you?
Yeah, this is just influencer content. So it may not be that she ends up being on The Bachelor, but she's definitely doing some different reality show.
With The Bachelorette creator, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if a Kardashian on her level would stoop to having her name attached to a different show that doesn't have her name in the title, because it's always, you know, I can't even remember the names of the spin-off shows, but they're always Chloe and This Week's Husband. Or,
yeah.
Do you know, like,
yeah, absolutely.
They're far too vain to sign up for a show and further that brand. It's got to be their own personal brand.
Maybe she's a matchmaker or something.
Okay.
We'll find
the
out.
The Kardashian-lorette.
Yes. They would do that, actually.
They would.
Frustrating. Any other stories?
Yeah, the Razzies were on night before the Oscars.
This is the Razzies for me, the best part was probably about 10 years ago where, I can't remember which movie it was for, but Sandra Bullock was nominated for Worst Actress at the Razzies, and then the next day she was nominated for Best Actress at the Oscars. She won both, and she appeared on stage and gave an acceptance speech at both.
Such a baller.
I love her.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a bit of a boring year because pretty much one film took out almost everything.
What was it?
Holmes and Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It won.
Fair enough.
Worst movie. John C. Reilly got worst supporting actor. Ethan Coen got worst director. I think it had worst script or something as well. Yeah, really bad showing. But Will Ferrell did not win worst actor.
What?
Donald Trump did.
For what?
For his appearances in Death of a Nation and Fahrenheit 11/9, both stock footage.
That's brilliant.
Yes, so he won Worst Actor, and Melissa McCarthy scored Worst Actress for Happy Time Murders. However, she also won the Razzie Redeemer Award.
Oh, there's a Redeemer Award?
Yeah,
I didn't realise that.
Well, it's given for someone who's done a shit job, but okay. redeemed himself by a good one. So she won Worst Actress and then also won Best Actress for Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Nominated as well at the Oscars.
Indeed.
Mm. been busy, hasn't she?
She is.
This is not movie related, but I saw the Fortnite developers said they're considering adding Respawn into their Battle Royale.
Ooh.
Looks like it might happen potentially in the next season. I don't know when the next season is, but they said, we've been considering this mechanic for a while and having been exploring it, we want to give it the time it needs to fully understand its impact on the game as a whole, which I would think would have a huge impact, because Battle Royale is you get, say, 100 people all onto one small area, so mm-hmm. they call it usually, say, a map, and then they've got to take each other out and the last man standing wins.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have a respawn feature, which basically means if you die, you will reappear on the map somewhere else, how are you...
It changes the format of the game entirely.
100%.
It's not... There's no finality there.
I wonder if this is going to be literally just a different version of it that you can sure. go into, like a different gameplay.
Yeah.
Where you... I don't know if it's just a team deathmatch or a free-for-all, that
server.
Kind of... Yeah, maybe. Maybe they think we want a kill confirmed, right? I don't know. But interesting that they're considering it.
Could it possibly be that they want to introduce some perks or power-ups for purchase that exist only for respawning players? It's a revenue stream. I feel pretty confident.
I think you're onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, epic. Tom's got you.
Yep.
Anything else?
No, that's enough news for you. You look full.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
We'll have listener questions later on.
Ba-da-ba.
And The Walking Dead behind the spoiler section. But you've been doing a lot of watching, I've heard.
I've done a lot, but I'm not going to talk about it all. Before we get into all of that, did you watch the rest of Umbrella?
I haven't watched it yet.
What?
Because I'll tell you why. Okay, we're starting with what I watched.
All right, we'll start with what you watched.
I have been recommended The Russian Doll by this one guy at work for about 2 or 3 weeks now. Each time I see him, he goes, have you seen it yet? Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Oh.
Not in this universe, pal.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. So I watched it not knowing anything about it,
yeah.
except he said the first couple of episodes he didn't like that much and then got into it.
Sure.
He said, persevere. So I persevered, but I didn't need to because I don't know why I thought it was a show about drugs, but it's a show about Groundhog Day, pretty much.
But is it?
Exactly. It's really weird and cool, and the introduction of a separate character, maybe halfway or the first third of the series, really endeared me to it because her character is who she always is, Natasha Lyonne. It's her character in
Cynical.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly, which is fine and fun, but it is a bit much for a main character in a show like this. So to introduce someone else who is less of that, a different... It sort of balanced it out a bit more and made it very endearing and gave you a storyline that you headed straight towards. And I've watched the whole thing. I'd be very surprised if there's a second season. It seemed like it wrapped up really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And the episodes are really short. They're like half an hour.
Okay.
Very watchable. Very bingeable.
I did read an interview with the someone who plays on the show. We're not behind the spoiler thing, but someone who maybe plays a few different roles, who's only a small character but gets to do a lot of different beard work.
Yes.
Sounded like he had a lot of fun.
He's a pretty cool character. He's one of the people... I had a couple of theories as I was watching it, and I thought he was somebody or something else, but he wasn't. He kept you interested.
Sorry.
But I would say if you like stuff that makes you think about where the story's going.
Yes.
And then realizing you just have to go with the flow until you get a bit more information, watch it.
Okay.
Oh, I really liked it. Loved it. What have you been watching?
Well, I thought we were going to be talking more about Umbrella Academy, so I prepared some stuff on that. But I'm not going to go into all of it too much, except that it's it was the most watched thing on digital in the last week. There was some statistic put out by a company that said 1 in 39 times where someone hit play on a streaming service, it was to begin the Umbrella Academy.
No way.
And it's instantly jumped up. They need to monitor it for a couple of weeks, but it's instantly jumped up to the popularity of a Stranger Things.
Wow.
Which they thought they had something big on their hands, but there's quite surprising.
You know I like Stranger Things, but mm-hmm. it feels just as fun to watch.
I just want them to announce some news about season two.
It's so early, though, isn't it?
You know what? I'm not a binger.
I know. There's not much that I watched the whole thing.
That's right. There's not much that I would just watch that quickly. And it's I want more with these characters.
Mm. Need to spend more time with it.
So we won't talk about Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, just give me some time.
Yep, we'll come back to that. I will talk about. I've been watching Ride with Norman Reedus, which I have mentioned before, and I've watched some of season one and two, and it was kind of rubbish. It was a little bit without point. Mm. It was a couple of friends meandering around on bikes talking about stuff. But they really infused it a bit more with some travel, you know, made it a bit more like a travel show.
I wonder if there are new producers added to the mix.
It feels like
mix.
Partly that, and partly they've been a lot more selective with who they've invited onto the show. I feel that since they've tightened up who the guests are, and the three of the episodes I've seen of this season have all been Walking Dead people, so they're people that he's super duper comfortable with, and it makes it like you're watching Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was that show? Was it called Long Way Home? The one with Ewan McGregor?
Mm, and his mate,
Charlie.
Not Charlie Pickering. Yeah, but Charlie, you know, yeah. And they went like down top to bottom of Africa.
Some crazy rides. So it feels a lot more like that.
Oh, great. Because that had a lovely feel.
It did. Yeah. It did. And they actually run into Charlie in one of these episodes and have a brief chat with him. But the first episode I watched, like the season premiere, was Jeffrey Dean Morgan in London. And they had a ton of fun. Jeffrey Dean Morgan had Stonehenge on his bucket list. So they rode out there.
So there was a mission they were on.
Very much
so.
That's
nice.
That was part one of the mission. Part two was to go and visit Andrew Lincoln's father-in-law, who just so happens to be the flutist from Jethro Tull.
Oh, no way!
So he has a massive mansion, and they go out to meet him, and they're hanging out with him for a while, and he says, oh, hang on, I've had my butler prepare us some food. Jeeves rings a little bell and Andrew Lincoln comes in.
Of course he does.
He's, hello, bitches. And brings in crumpets. And those two try crumpets for the first time. And Norman Reedus really likes a crumpet.
How have you never had crumpets before? That's phenomenal.
It's not an American thing.
Hmm.
They're about waffles.
Mm.
It's a very there's a clear distinction. And they get them to try Marmite. And Reedus quite likes a bit of Marmite.
On your crumpet especially.
Exactly. Mm. It goes very well. So that was a really cool episode. Then they had then you went to San Francisco with Steven Yeun, who is Glenn. And it was amazing how many people apologized to him and just, oh, I'm so sorry for what happened to Glenn. Like, I still really feel that. So he must get that a lot.
He must. He'll never get away from that then. That means that's it forever for him.
Yeah. But it was interesting because it was a different one of, here's someone that I was so close with for many years and I don't get to see too often.
Yeah, right.
But the thing that was most interesting was just learning how much of a work ethic Steven Yeun has. Like, he doesn't like stopping, and he's taken a week off in the last 3 years or something like that. And he was talking about, you know, I've done this and this and stuff. And they'd obviously filmed it about a year ago because he was rattling off what ended up being a project that he'd been working on, which we now know as Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, you loved that.
I loved that. So that was a really cool thing. They were riding around looking because he was considering moving to, I want to say, Oakland. I think that's the suburb just outside San Francisco.
Yeah.
So there were some really cool shots and, you know, eating fish and chips and this sort of stuff.
Nice.
And then they ended up meeting Jello from the Dead Kennedys, who's one of the most insane frontmen ever.
Wow.
And like total punk dude.
Mm.
And hanging out with Les Claypool, who's the bassist and singer from Primus.
Wow. Just because they were all there at the time.
Yep.
So if you're on this show, do you have to be riding a motorbike?
Well, see, that gets us to our third episode, which was with Melissa McBride, who plays
Carol.
Yes. And they went to Scotland to trace her heritage and find out about her family tree and this sort of stuff. And she had specifically learned how to ride a motorcycle to be on the show. And then they got over there and Scottish weather meant that they had to be in a car the whole episode. So they drove a Range Rover.
It was raining the whole time.
And foggy. Yes, dangerous Scottish conditions and stuff like that. But, yeah, she made it very clear that she had put in a lot of time to learn to be confident enough on a motorcycle to do this show with him, because when they'd been out filming, he was trying to sell her on coming on the show, and she's like, there's nowhere I want to really want to go, like, not right now and stuff, not on a bike. And he's like, well,
Have a think.
And then she said, what about Scotland? I know I've got family from there. And it was like one of those who do you think you are
episodes. I love those shows so much.
Well, you're right to love those shows so much, because it was very endearing and warm to watch her standing in the spot where her family may have been, or finding the room above the pub where her great-grandfather supposedly died, and all this sort of stuff. It was really cool.
How Carol is Melissa?
Not very. She
in what
swears
way?
Like a champion, and apparently she's the worst farter on Walking Dead.
Which may actually, if we're thinking about it, may actually end up being something good if there are zombies around, because you would smell as putrid as them.
Sure.
Because they'll just walk past you. So out of the three, which episode? Because I want you to rate them.
That's a tough one. I really love seeing him hang out with Les Claypool in San Francisco, but Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I think they had the best rapport.
They're pretty good mates, I
It comes
hear.
Across.
Yeah.
It comes across that they get along really well. And then Melissa McBride was entertaining in a different way, because it was quite heartwarming. Mm. So, I don't know. We'll see what the rest of the season holds. It depends on who the guests are, I think.
Yeah, who else from The Walking Dead are they going to get? That's 3 for 3 right there.
I hope Abraham gets a look in.
Oh, yes.
That would be a great episode.
I wonder if they could get some older cast members.
Well, like T-Dog.
Yeah, well, I was thinking Dale.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean actual older.
Yeah, well, no, I was just meaning people who haven't been there for a long time.
Who else do you think could?
Carl would be of the age where he could learn how to ride a bike now, motorbike.
I'll put him in a sidecar.
Yeah, okay.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you been watching?
I saw on my, I think it was my Facebook feed, actually, that SBS On Demand had Masters of the Universe, as in the movie.
I recall
from
it.
What
80s?
Year? I think it was 87.
It was around Highlander time, wasn't it?
Yeah. And if I recall correctly, there are two gravestones that you see, and it says 1986 as the death. So it would make sense that it would be from. But I'd never seen it before. And to be honest with you, my memory of He-Man was hazy at best. I just remember, you know, the...
By the power.
Yeah, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power.
What colour is his cat?
Green. Mm. And there was no cat in this movie. Bit upset about that. But
no battle cat.
No battle cat. No Bob either. Dolph had a mullet, because it was 1987, so it was prime mullet time. But what I really enjoyed was, as I was watching the beginning of it, they were showing who was going to be in the film, and Courtney Cox was there, and I was trying to think, what era of Courtney Cox? And it was Courtney Cox pretending to be a random concert goer in the Bruce Springsteen video era.
Oh.
Yeah, so she was very young, playing a high school student. And it was all the things that you would ever expect from a 1980s action movie based on a comic book,
cartoon.
It was phenomenally terrible in the best possible way. It's the one, it's the sort of terrible that you want to keep watching. So it is on SBS On Demand right now. You can watch it for free. If you haven't seen it before, but you are of that era, watch. And if you have seen it before, watch again. You're going to love it.
Might I just suggest a fine pairing with Flash Gordon?
Yes! Defender of the Universe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually, yes. I think Flash was before, potentially.
It was.
Right, you're spot on. They're both right there together.
You need that sort of complimentary handoff between the two.
That's exactly it. So, yeah, that's what I've been watching this week. That was amazing. Also, the fact that you had people that looked like they were supposed to be extras in Spaceballs but were just running around as soldiers.
They might have reused the costumes.
Yeah, potentially. Also, it was interesting that they were like outer spacey kind of people, yet He-Man had, his budgie smugglers, a cape and a sword.
But he's not supposed to be an outer space.
I know, he's from a different planet than they are. But, the sensible guy in his 40s with the moustache. Love the whole thing.
Can I hear your best Skeletor?
No, do you know why?
Oh.
Because as soon as I start doing it, because I don't, not from Masters, but I always start going, I always do his voice, but I quote Inspector Gadget. So I always go, I'll get you next time, Gadget.
Oh, so mixing Claw with Skeletor.
But he did a lot of the fact that, you know, he's I will have the power, the supreme power. That outfit, well, that mask, I should say, that Frank LaGella had was very scary.
Mm-hmm.
It was, they'd made nostril, made little black bits for his nostril so he could breathe.
Sure.
And the whole thing moved, except for his mouth, but it kind of moved but didn't at the same time. Like if he was making a buh or a purr or something like that, mm-hmm. The lips wouldn't close. It was brilliant.
Awesome.
It was lovely. What have you watched?
So this week was the end of Crikey, It's the Irwins, which I talked about 3 months ago or something
ages
like that,
ago.
Which was the Irwins documentary series at Australia Zoo.
Mm.
And when I first started watching, I found their personalities a little bit much. But as it went on, it kind of, they're just as enthusiastic as their dad.
Mm.
And that really wore away, and it became, like, I really enjoyed this show up to the end.
I kind of get the feeling that if you were to get a job there at the zoo and you met them, no, you just met anybody, right, any of the staff, and they were all really enthusiastic and stuff, you'd be like, whoa, hang on, no, come on, what's it really like? And but no, eventually you realise that everybody acts like that.
Yeah,
it's just this seems contagious happiness.
That's positivity. Exactly it. They've just fostered that mentality. That is, when you come to work here, you are blessed to be working with animals.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was just a really engaging show. And they had, you know, maybe every fourth or fifth episode was we're out at the Steve Irwin, you know, wildlife sanctuary rescuing crocs. And it's a whole episode of them just jumping on crocs, tagging and learning more. Or working with rhinos over in Africa.
Hmm.
Or things like that. But then the episodes in between were just dealing with the day-to-day stuff at the zoo.
Yeah.
You know, this Brolga, who's super-duper old and was, you know, already kind of old when Steve Irwin died, is now really, really old. And what sort of techniques do they have to do to help it deal with arthritis in its knees?
Oh, wow.
For our international listeners, a brolga is kind of like an Australian flamingo?
Yeah.
Or a stork type thing. It's a giant, like, these things get huge. It's a bird with massive, long, wading legs. And, yeah, it was very interesting to see them coming up with ideas for this quite large bird with tiny flimsy legs and arthritis in the knees, of how they can exercise this bird. Just little things like that, which, you know, I watch a lot of those zoo shows. Mm. Normally those shows are all focused on the animals and you meet the keeper who looks after the animal, whereas this show had the flip of that. It was about following this family who are continuing their father's tradition. And it was really weird timing that I watched the last episode right as Peter decided to absolutely kick themselves in the face. Did you see all that this week?
No, wait, what happened?
So it was the anniversary of Steve Irwin's birthday. He would have been 57. And Peter put out a tweet, because Google changed the Google Doodle to be of Steve Irwin, and there was a beautiful flipbook that you could go through of key moments of his life. Peter decided to wade in, and were basically like, this guy was awful to animals. You know, sure, he did some, well, they came out later and said, sure, he did some good conservation, but it's like he invaded their natural space, harassed them for viewers, and basically got what he deserved. And the internet decided they finally had enough of Peter, and they went in hard.
Mm.
And there was lots of really full-on stuff said. Peter, I have very strong opinions on them. They suck. Mm. They do a lot more damage than they do good. You know, recently they did an event in Pitt Street Mall where they barbecued a fake dog carcass. What does that achieve other than bothering children? You know what I mean?
Mm.
No one's going to see that and go, gee, you know, I've been thinking wrong about this stuff.
Mm.
These people without a job, able to stand around barbecuing a fake dog carcass in the middle of Sydney's busiest metro, they've got a point. No.
Mm.
It's just a really good way to disappoint your parents.
Kind of like Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin, I actually, just quick side note.
Sidebar.
He would have been 57.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, he must have been young when he passed away.
No, it was only 2000 and I want to say 8, okay. 11 years ago.
All right.
I remember I was working at Yahoo at the time.
Okay.
And
so you've got a...
Well, we got tipped off before the word broke, and it was like, go and turn on all the servers because we're about to get a lot more traffic. And it was the highest point of traffic in Australian celebrity history.
But also he's now such, well, he was then, he was such, like the family, so positive and likable. You can't, it's, and now that he is, he's almost a legacy now.
Yeah. He's been like, martyr is the wrong word, but for yes, that cause, yeah. It's kind of, he's become a figurehead or a symbol.
Yeah.
Which he already was for the amount of work he did, but in death it kind of shored things up, so he's unquestionable.
He's unquestionable.
There's never been any dirt that's come out.
No.
Like the most dirty thing about that that's ever come out with that family was like, you know, is she hooking up with Russell Crowe now 10 years after her husband died?
Well, if she is, Russell Crowe's not married, so.
Yeah, and Russell Crowe's a champion. He bought them a new hospital. He literally paid for a new koala. I think it's Koala Hospital for them and stuff. It's called the Russell Crowe Wing.
It should have been for rabbits, but obviously...
Oh, he's got rabbitos.
Yeah, he so does. Okay, so that is definitely worthwhile watching from the beginning then.
Yeah, I enjoy it. If you enjoy a nature documentary, and this is quite a different style one, as I said, I really struggled at the beginning to marry the two approaches, but everyone got a lot more comfortable with it as the show progressed, and it was quite heartwarming.
Including, obviously, the audience.
Yeah.
Got quite comfy.
Yeah.
Anything else you watched?
Not that you need to hear about this week.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We'll make sure that we cover it and everything else next week.
Grab some turpentine, acetone and benzene. That's all you'll need to make dip and survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Now, instead of a quiz, I thought we'd better check in with some questions.
Oh, hello.
Listener questions, if you do have any listener questions. Or quiz ideas. If you've got quizzes, you can send them to thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com, like Michelle did. Well, she sent in a question. She said, "Hi, Watchers. If you're flicking through the channels and come across old episodes of Friends or Porn Stars, which one are you going to pick?"
Porn Stars.
Friends.
If Linz is in the room with me, I don't have a choice anymore when watching Friends. But yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, it would depend. Because if I'm in the mood to watch something different, something that I haven't already watched, I'm not going to watch Friends. I'm going to watch Porn Stars. Michelle, it depends.
Yeah. I'm not a rewatcher. Mm. I've seen all of Friends. If it's someone else watching, I'll watch with them.
Yeah,
but otherwise, Porn Stars. Because it might be something random on.
You never know, do you?
No. Might find a dinosaur bone.
You could. Still trying to find them in Red Dead. All right. Sergio has sent an email saying, "Hello, fellow watchers." Oh, he's one like us.
Oh, hello. One of us.
He says, "I've been rewatching Game of Thrones in the lead up to the final season.
Sure.
And come to the realization, I hate Jaime Lannister. I know we're supposed to grow to like him, but I have way more respect for Cersei. She fights to rule the Seven Kingdoms and he's just ... there." He said, "So who else on the show do you think is misunderstood?"
I don't think Jamie's misunderstood. I think he's got to have the tragic ending. The only way that his character gets to be a flawed hero is by having a horribly tragic ending, and he should be the one to kill Cersei.
I think if I recall what her, not her dream, when she went to see the crone. Yeah, prophecy was she was going to be strangled, I think.
And that she would see her children all die and then be killed by her brother.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And of course she thinks Tyrion. It's not going to be. Okay, who do I think is misunderstood in the show? I think Sansa was misunderstood for a very long time.
Sure.
And that's why we had her stay around for so long. I wonder what the point of Davos was for quite a long time.
Oh,
the Onion Knight. But I like him. But you know who actually
he's the pragmatist.
He really is.
You've got to have
he can't go because he's right there for that one reason.
That's right.
Well, not one reason, but yeah. I think Stannis was misunderstood.
I will agree with that. He is your traditional hero in your normal Western civilization literature. He is the one who would rise and take his...
He was literally fighting for what was his.
And
rightfully his.
And had prophecies telling him that he was right to do so and this sort of stuff. So I think Stannis is a pretty good call.
All right. Well, we'll go with Stannis, Sergio. But I do understand that he kind of what he was getting at with Cersei. Like Cersei has never, apart from, you know, two people, but never to the audience, she's never pretended to be someone she isn't.
This is true. Yeah.
She's always like, "I'm a cow."
Yeah.
I'm going to get what I want.
I will say the faceless man.
Yeah?
Wachan?
Juan.
I will say him because we never got a real sense of who or what he was, but we understand the importance that he putting Arya on that journey.
Exactly. Yeah.
Either that or Hot Pie.
Good old Hot Pie.
Deserve more screen time.
Yeah, you exactly. Fee from Vancouver said, what's your favourite TV watching snack? I'd probably say chips, like a packet of chips, like Red Rock chips, those honey and soy ones.
Sure.
They're pretty damn good.
That's a nice choice.
Do you do sweet or savoury?
I'm not a big sweet, like I don't do a lot of chocolate and that sort of stuff. Mm. I like chips, if I can smash a bag of chips pretty easy. I like it if there's some limited edition flavours to try out. This week I went to the supermarket and there was spag bol or mac and cheese. Haven't tried the spag bol yet, mac and cheese, great.
So that means because they're limited edition, you're going to have to stock up on them.
I do.
Okay.
I'd buy a couple of bags. I still got a bag of the garlic bread flavour from mid-late last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait until they're almost expired, then I'll smash them.
I tried one with truffles. It wasn't...
Oh.
Yeah, it just wasn't...
My other choice would be a Zupa Derpa or an ice block.
Yeah, yeah.
Of unremarkableness.
I'm going to go with mint choc gelato.
Oh, see, that's very fancy.
Yeah, but when you've got a brother-in-law who makes gelato, it's fancy-free.
I don't know how I feel about gelato, just between you and me. Be ice cream or be nothing.
Oh, if there was an Italian here, their hand gestures would be all over the shop.
I ate gelato the other day, first time in years, was once again disappointed. Every time I get gelato.
What is it? Is it the texture? Is it the flavour? Is it not creamy enough? What?
It's just like eating frozen yogurt.
It's like being in the good place.
Yeah, I don't get the hype about gelato.
Okay.
As I say, I like the creaminess of ice cream.
Yeah, right.
So I guess that's what's missing. Or something.
It's a different way of production. I don't know. I don't know enough about either of them to be an expert.
Mm.
Except I do like mint chocolate. I would eat mint chocolate ice cream as well, actually.
Sure.
But not much, like one scoop. More than that, and I just get over it.
I like a vanilla. I'm very plain.
All right, let's get to the final question, Charlie.
Okay.
From Sydney, do you have a favourite movie soundtrack? Look, if I'm thinking about soundtracks that, you know, that were part of the movie, as in they created all the emotions, like your Star Wars, I'm going to say Star Wars, because that music is amazing. But if you're talking about a soundtrack that is like a compilation soundtrack from a movie... One that I really enjoyed years ago was Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Sure.
Well, not he didn't do the soundtrack, but the soundtrack, because there were some great songs on that.
So we're kind of talking one that's
like a cinematic,
score, the official soundtrack, and one that is songs inspired by.
This is not what Charlie necessarily has asked, but it's what I've decided
that's fair enough. I think for best score. Why? There's a lot of songs on the Requiem for a Dream soundtrack that I adore.
Yes.
Which I feel quite confident in saying no listener was expecting me to say that.
I didn't expect you to
say
it. I
saw your face.
Yeah.
Because you're like, Tom, you don't watch that sort of movie. That or Sunshine, which is the Danny Boyle film, which is the same composer, Clint Mansell.
Okay.
I really enjoy his work. His stuff is very haunting and uses a lot of stabbing, sharp violins. In terms of best soundtrack, I have to go with a film from 1999, 98, somewhere around there, called Human Traffic. It's a rave film from the UK.
Exactly what music it is.
There's a lot of people in that film that went on to being great big things later. It's a film about loving music and about having shitty jobs and going out just partying all weekend and having the best time of your life. And it's very much of a time of my life. It's a cool movie.
I understand
movie.
What you mean. Yeah. Similar to the Baz Luhrmann soundtrack. I feel like I've seen Human Traffic. I just can't remember it.
Nice one, brother.
Okay.
Nice one, brother.
Some great questions there. Like I said before, if you do have any questions or quiz ideas to send us, you can send them to. That's the sentence I was looking for. TheWatchersPodcast@gmail.com.
Do it.
Okie dokie, it is now time for spoilers, Walking Dead style.
Hang on a second, I'm just going to shut the garage door. Okay.
That was good.
Thanks.
That was a new one.
We don't record in a garage.
No, we don't. I don't think we ever have, actually.
Nope.
No.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
I was stressed out during this episode. There were moments where I was watching going, and I haven't felt like that for a while.
Do you want to know what I said afterwards?
What?
That was a good Walking Dead.
It was a good Walking Dead.
I can't remember the last time I said that. I've said that there were parts that were good. I enjoyed this moment. Things like that. That was a good Walking Dead.
You take some characters and put them into somewhere like a movie theatre. I'm going to enjoy it because it's tight, confined spaces. It's dark. They're looking for something. There's danger. I used to do that all the time.
I felt it was very clever by splitting the episode into A storyline and B storyline. The B storyline was dealing with the constant threat of the zombies, which haven't been much of a threat for a while, and it showed why these people are still alive, because they're fucking good at killing zombies.
And the planning.
Yeah.
They're very good at planning.
But they could make jokes, and you had Jerry having a great time. Sidebar for a second, Jerry is in Shazam. Coming up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the superhero movie.
Yeah.
He's playing the dad.
A lot of time for that.
So, anyway, I felt that was appropriate because there was a lot of dad Jerry last night.
It was.
I thought Jerry owned it.
I like Jerry.
I feel really nervous for Jerry.
I feel really nervous about anybody who refers to this fair. Like, there's so much referring to it. It's you're foreshadowing whatever's going to happen.
They just suddenly made Jerry a dad?
Oh, no. Yes.
It's the same reason why we met Hawkeye's family in Avengers 2, because they want to set it up later that there's got to be loss. So is it going to be Jerry goes down leaving children, or even worse, Jerry's family goes?
Look, it could be the fact that Jerry's family goes, and I'll tell you why, because of the Whisperer having to leave the baby in the field.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's foreshadowing.
And I think that that would be an amazing character arc for him to go through, of retribution, violence and anger, because we never really see that from
He's
him.
He's always happy.
Yeah.
Most tense moment I feel for me in this episode was in the corn.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
What happens when you've got a screaming baby and you can't hear anything?
I thought it was 95% as bold as it could have been. If they'd cut the audio completely and not had that weird, sharp
audio. They should have cut it. I agree.
You know, there was a huge ring anytime something would jump out. If they'd cut that and just made it completely silent, that would have been a lot eerier.
I would have been.
It was hard to watch it anyway.
Yeah, desperate to get out of that scene immediately. But it also reminded us, because we've been introduced to the idea of using sign language because she's deaf. Not introduced to the fact that she has managed to survive despite being deaf.
Yep.
And that was a cool concept that I just hadn't thought about. In all honesty, as soon as that group was signing, I thought, this is a great asset.
Yep.
That's as far as I got. Really cool.
I will say that signing behind the back was one of the cleverest things I think the show has done in many years, of just, hey, that's a really clever. Yeah. Did you think the baby was going to go?
No. I thought if they do, that's probably one of the biggest things.
Oh, it would have been the most messed up thing the show's ever done.
Yeah.
And that includes bashing Glenn's brains in and everything. Killing a child, like not just a child, a baby.
But what
I really was hoping they would.
But then they wouldn't have. Yeah, that's true. The shock value still would have overshadowed the fact of what they were trying to do. They had Alpha getting her daughter back, but insisting on that woman to leave her daughter behind, or baby. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. So it was mother versus mother, but who's in charge?
Did you see that she slapped her daughter when she called her mother?
I knew she was going to. The look on her face. She was not happy. She was going to do whatever. She was not happy the fact that they had to go there.
Yeah. She had to take her mask off to deal with it.
So unfair.
Uh-huh.
So next episode, I didn't see any trailers or anything for it, but I'm hoping for Les Henry. He looks like he smelt something bad the whole time.
He does. He's a face of indignancy at all times.
That's right. What we will probably do is catch up with Alexandria.
I was about to say, I'm not missing checking in with Alexandria one bit.
Who's there?
Michonne.
Michonne and the kids.
Gabriel.
Oh, Gabriel. I forgot about him. Oh, Rosita. She's got to tell everybody she's pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm really enjoying focusing on some characters that haven't gotten a lot of love in a while.
And they kind of have to because of the fact that we've lost such big characters.
Mm-hmm. And we're losing a few more. Mm. It was nice that there was a throwaway mention of Maggie, that she's too busy.
Yeah, but that too busy was in a flashback.
Nice cameo by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Useless. Could have been anyone.
Still.
He rose again.
He did. Happy Easter, everyone. Yeah, a solid episode. If you haven't already watched it, I don't think we've given too much away.
I don't think so. And I enjoyed it more than any episode in two or three seasons,
maybe.
There
you go.
Yeah. It gave me a little bit of faith back.
That's nice.
Also really made me want the Fear Walking Dead characters to just cross over here. How good would John Dory be as the new Rick?
Get that damn truck in there.
He would fix that goddamn community so quickly.
You're so right. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. All right, we done with that?
Yep.
Are we done with everything?
Yep.
Until next week. Tom, thank you.
Hey!
USA! USA!